You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Turning our eye to money and politics now, Michigan's U.S. representatives have filed their first quarter contributions to the Federal Election Commission. That happened this week. According to the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, Michigan's 14 reps managed to raise a total of $2,170,989, just to be exact. Let's break some of these numbers down as we talk with Todd Spangler, D.C.-based reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Welcome back to Stateside, Todd.
I'm glad to be here.
So let's start, first of all, looking over some of these numbers with a couple of reps in mind, and that would be Congressman Gary Peters, Democrat from Southeast Michigan, and Representative Mike Rogers, Republican from Mid-Michigan. I want to start with those two because they're shaping up to be front runners for the U.S. Senate seat that will open up in 2014 when Carl Levin retires. So what do their fundraising totals tell us?
Well, Congressman Peters actually for the quarter raised more than Chairman Rogers. Twice as much, $371,000 to $164,000. But Rogers, who's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, has more on hand. He has about $1.4 million on hand to about $800,000 for Congressman Peters. Ultimately, whether either or both get in the race for the seat now held by Carl Levin remains to be seen. I would think that at this point, Congressman Peters is more likely to get in. He says he's seriously considering it. Chairman Rogers has said something similar, but he is, as I said, chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, so it really remains to be seen whether he'd want to give up that kind of committee to run for the Senate.
Now, I want to turn to Republican Representative Kerry Benevolio, of course, a freshman in the seat that had been held by Thaddeus McCotter, who was forced to resign from Congress last summer after that scandal. What did he report?
Congressman Benevolio's report is actually interesting and unique in a way that I haven't really run across before. Rather than reporting just one campaign fund, he reported two, and both had relatively modest contributions to him. It did have some, but it really sort of splits things up. The way they're looking at it is they're sort of running one campaign to retire some debts and deal with the 2012 election, and another one to look forward to the re-election in 2014, should he decide to run, which we expect he will.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it shows about together. It shows about $70,000 raised, maybe $60,000 or just a little bit over that in cash on hand. But that's against debts of more than $200,000, all from this last election when Congressman Benevolio was completely out of nowhere.
Yes.
But for the fact that Thaddeus McCotter ran into the problems he did with the forged and fraudulent signatures on the campaign petitions, presumed that he would have been returning. But it's Congressman Benevolio's seat, and regardless of what he's raising now, it's hard to beat an incumbent.
Well, it's interesting, though. Fellow Republican was former chairman of Oakland County Republican Party, Paul Welday, made a post on his Facebook page. Here's what he said. Like it or not, a reality and necessity in politics is fundraising. It's a measure of support and indication of strength. This should be a huge red flag across the 11th District of Michigan and a very real concern for GOP leaders everywhere. Do you think that's a fair statement, Todd?
I think it's a fair statement that ultimately, Congressman Benevolio, if he intends to hold onto that seat, will have to raise more money to do it. I suspect he'll be able to. The powers of incumbency are great. People who want to raise money can. I look over his campaign finance report, and you see people, groups like the Freedom's Defense Fund giving money to Congressman Benevolio. Ford gave some money to him. Jim Nicholson from PVS Chemical in Detroit gave some money. He's tapping some of the sources. Whether they've got a real machine up and running to raise that kind of money? That's a question. I mean, that's a fair question whether they're doing as much as they should be doing at this point. But there's plenty of time. He is the incumbent, which means he's got to vote on stuff in Congress that people care about. And that's how these guys can raise so much money quickly.
For someone listening to us talk right now, Todd, saying, well, so what? Why should I care how much money these folks have in their war chest? What's your answer? Just why are these numbers important?
Well, the numbers are always important because of who's giving the money and where the money is coming from. I mean, what you really want to be looking at when you're looking at this sort of thing is determining who's getting that access, who is, and why are they doing it. I know we at the Free Press have written numerous articles about the campaign contributions that the Ambassador Bridge owner, Matty Maroon, have given to people over the years.
And yes.
I'm not singling him out. There's nothing wrong with it with giving, but when you give, you tend to expect something in return, and that may be good government. Or it may be something more close to your business at hand. And, frankly, when you're looking at this, you wonder, is there something they're getting in return for that? That being said, there's nothing illegal with it, and that's how democracy works.
Did you have any surprises as you look through the filings?
I was surprised that Congressman Amash did not raise more than he did. He's been talked about somebody who would run for possibly run for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Senator Levin. He only has about $114,000 on hand. That's just not much. I even though it's only been about a month since Senator Levin announced his intentions to retire, I thought there'd be more there. Again, it's early, but also maybe an indication that Congressman Amash has made himself a bit of an outsider in the Republican Party, and that could make it hard to raise money in other places. But that being said, there are lots of folks out there who are more Tea Party oriented, more libertarian oriented. There will be sources he can tap if he decides to make that jump.
And it's mid-April 2013, so there's plenty of time.
Absolutely.
I'm speaking with Todd Spangler, the D.C.-based reporter for the Detroit Free Press. And Todd, I want to pivot now to the big news that came out of the Capitol, which, of course, is the Senate's rejection of the bipartisan plan to expand background checks for gun purchases, failing by a vote of 54-46, with only four Republicans supporting it and five Democrats opposing it. Of course, Michigan's two Democratic senators, Carl Levin and Debbie Stabenow, both supported the measures. And a lot of those supporters are blaming the NRA in large part for the defeat, including President Obama. So politically, what does this say? That the votes in opposition came from the fact that folks are worried about being challenged in primaries, and Levin and Stabenow are not worried because he's not running and she isn't up for re-election until 2018?
Well, even if they had been up, they would have voted for this expanded background check. I mean, Michigan is a state that, while there certainly has a conservative tradition and has a tradition of strong Second Amendment rights and electing Republicans to state offices, the fact is that when it comes to the U.S. Senate, it's hard for a Republican to win that seat. That was a safe vote for Senator Stabenow. As you said, Senator Levin's leaving. He would have voted for it anyway, even if he hadn't been leaving. The bigger question is, there are Democrats in Western states particularly who felt like they couldn't. I mean, it's easy to say Republicans didn't vote for this, but there were really four Democrats who voted against it, all from Western states. The fifth was Senator Reid, but Senator Reid, just in case they want to bring it up again, he had to vote against it, as you have to be on the prevailing party in order to bring it back up if you want to try. So that's why he did that.
I see.
But ultimately, this was going to be a problem regardless. There's very little real desire in the Senate, or the House for that matter, to have to try to thread this needle to find something that's going to be acceptable to all these different constituencies. And it is. I mean, NRA brings a lot of pressure to this. But ultimately, you have both a Democrat and Republican senator from Alaska, for instance, voting against this. And that's not just the NRA putting pressure on them. That's a matter of them believing they're representing their constituency, I think.
You got to wonder, and I know you've watched this Congress, I just wonder what your thoughts are when we see polls that show some 90% of Americans favored expanded background checks, and it gets voted down in the Senate. What do you think?
Well, I think that there is overwhelming support for something like that, but that these folks do not believe that translates into support for them, protection for them at the polls. That ultimately, their voters, the people that turn out to vote for or against them, feel differently than that. And they may have, Max Baucus, who voted against this, is not somebody who is afraid to take a tough vote, and he's not somebody who doesn't understand his electorate, and yet he voted against this. Do I think that's because he thinks the NRA might come out against him? I really don't. I don't think he's been around longer than I think he would be able to take a tough vote like that. Ultimately, it's do that 90% that show up at the polls actually turn out to vote in these elections in Western and Southern states, and ultimately, you know, that's a problem for the supporters of this. Now, there's a silver lining here. Believe me, that this thing appears to be dead now in the Senate, and that takes a huge amount of pressure off the House, by the way.
Yes.
But, you know, ultimately, this is going to be used as a vote in elections in 2014. I mean, the folks who voted against this, particularly Republicans in more liberal or moderate states, handed Democrats something to use against them, and believe me, they will.
Todd Spangler, D.C.-based reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Always good to talk with you and get your insights. Thanks so much for talking with us, Todd.
My pleasure.